Wondery Plus subscribers can binge new seasons of American Scandal early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. It's June 3rd, 2003. It's 84 degrees in Colorado Springs, but the temperature just went up at the offices of the USADA, United States Anti-Doping Agency. Rich Wanniger, their spokesman, has just taken a call from elite track coach Trevor Graham. And Graham is selling out Victor Conti.
I'm telling you, they're all juicing. That's why they're winning, and all of them are his clients.
I'm sorry, sir, who are we talking about?
The guy who's at all the track meets carrying his little black bag, Victor Conti, from Valco.
Sir, we need more than allegations if we're going to do anything. We need actual evidence that athletes are doping.
Well, tomorrow morning, you'll receive a package. The rest is up to you.
What happened? Just 3 years ago, Graham attended Conti's steroid summit. It was smiles all around as they pledged to work together to create the world's fastest man. Well, a lot can change when egos collide. Just 2 days after Graham calls the USADA, Conti decides to contact them too, completely unaware that Graham has gotten there first. Conti tells him Graham is giving his athletes oral testosterone and urges them to perform tests. But at the time Conti is composing his letter, the USADA has already received Graham's package. It contains a syringe with residue of an unknown substance, and it sent the USADA into a panic. The U.S. track championships are just a few days away. What if some of the athletes are using this drug? They don't even know what it is. How can they possibly test for it? Back in the Balco office, Victor Conti changes his mind. He decides not to send the letter after all. He tosses it in the trash, which goes into the dumpster, where IRS agent and dedicated dumpster diver Jeff Nowitzki is going to find it. It will confirm that Agent Nowitzki has been right all along. It will confirm that he does have a case. It will confirm that the best athletes in the world are doping. American Scandal is sponsored by Audible. I get the thrill of, say, skydiving, but it's a lot of work and expense for something that lasts only minutes and comes with some safety concerns. Instead, I get my thrills in a lower dose, stretched out over hours with a good mystery. Like in the Penguin Modern Classic Perfume, The Story of a Murderer by Patrick Susskind. And as an Audible member, I can choose one title every month to keep forever from the entire catalog of classics, bestsellers, new releases, and Audible originals ready to listen whenever, wherever on the Audible app. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/AS or text AS to 500-500. That's audible.com/AS or text AS to 500-500. American Scandal is sponsored by the new masterpiece series, Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office. Following one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in British legal history, the new masterpiece series, Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office, is based on the shocking true story of the British Post Office scandal. When money started to seemingly disappear from local branches, the government-owned post office wrongly blamed their own managers for its apparent loss. And for more than a decade, hundreds were accused of theft and fraud. Many were even sent to prison, leaving lives, marriages, and reputations in ruins. But the issue was actually caused by errors in the post office's own computer system, something it denied for years. Don't miss Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office, starring Toby Jones, beginning Sunday, April 7th on Masterpiece on PBS. The series will be available to stream on the PBS app, PBS Masterpiece Prime Video Channel, and PBS.org. From Wondery, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is American Scandal. This is the third episode in our five-part series on a scandal that rocked the world of sports to the core. In our last episode, Balco founder Victor Conti has snagged his biggest client yet, Barry Bonds. Bonds has finally decided to start taking steroids, and the transformation is astonishing. But the more attention Conti gets, the more determined Special Agent Jeff Nowitzki is to bring him down. This is episode 3, syringes, and secrets. It starts out with such promise. In December of 2001, Victor Conti and Trevor Graham team up with two other juicing experts vowing to create the fastest man in the world. They call it Project World Record, and it signals their high hopes for a fruitful collaboration. And they will create the world's fastest man, just not in the way they planned. 8 weeks after selecting sprinter Tim Montgomery as their subject, Montgomery has packed on 28 pounds of muscle. Remember, his nickname was Tiny Tim. Now, that nickname and his clothes no longer fit. He's increased his body weight by nearly 20% in just 2 months. It's an astonishing transformation. Conti has put Montgomery on a cycle of performance enhancers, including human growth hormone and his signature steroid, the Clear. The results speak for themselves.
Out of the blocks. Keep an eye on Tim Montgomery. Montgomery in this race is in lane six, won the national championships, looked good.
Clean start in the men's 100. Green in lane four now pulls his head up.
And there you see Tim Montgomery trying to match strides with him. It is Green. Montgomery holds on for second, but clearly runs a very fine race.
In June of 2001, Montgomery runs 100 meters in under 10 seconds, one of his best times ever. He's not the fastest man in the world yet, but he's well on his way. But not long after the race, he receives a letter from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. He sends a copy to Conti and insists he read it immediately. Conti's heart pounds as he reads the first paragraph. The United States Anti-Doping Agency collected the following samples from you. Sample number 555143 on June 24th at the USA Outdoor Track and Field Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Conti takes a deep breath and steadies himself. If Montgomery is busted, that means the authorities are on to him and all of his clients will test dirty. His entire doping empire could come crashing down. He continues reading. We are pleased to inform you that the reported results do not indicate the presence of any prohibited substance and/or method. He gives a whoop of relief and celebration. He calls Montgomery to congratulate him and to remind him to wear his ZMA hat and t-shirt wherever he goes. Promotion is a 24/7 job. Conti has created the ZMA Track Club, consisting of Montgomery and a few other elite athletes. They wear their ZMA Track Club uniforms to meets and give interviews touting ZMA's benefits. In exchange, Conti gives them, well, Montgomery just tested clean, so no need to talk about that. But Conti does talk. Too much. He longs to get recognition for his work. To be fair, he does deserve credit. He goes to great lengths for Montgomery, even getting a psychiatrist to write a prescription for a female fertility drug that will mask signs of steroid use. He takes the precaution of having the prescription written under a woman's name. But other than that, he's surprisingly indiscreet. When Montgomery hangs out at the Balco office, he hears Conti bragging on the phone about his illicit business. Rather than staying in the shadows like he should, Conti longs for the spotlight. Still, Montgomery's getting amazing results, so he keeps his mouth shut. In July of 2001, he runs the third fastest 100 meters in history and is ranked number 2 in the world. A year ago, he wasn't even in the top 5. Sprinter Marion Jones is also breaking records. By the end of the season, she's ranked number 1 in the world in both the 100 and 200 meters. Her marriage, however, is stumbling. Her husband's failed drug test put a strain on things, and now she suspects he's having an affair. They separate, and she spends more time with Montgomery. The press picks it up and starts calling them the world's fastest couple. Marion's marriage isn't the only thing falling apart. Her relationship with Conti is starting to sour, too. First, they fight over money. He claims she owes him $25,000. She claims he said he'd forgive the debt if she wore his team ZMA uniform to the U.S. Championships. But it's not just about money. Both she and Montgomery have grown increasingly uncomfortable with Conti's boasting and self-promotion. The last thing they want is for the spotlight trained on Conti to turn towards them. So they dump him, leaving him angry and bitter. It also puts a strain on Conti's relationship with Montgomery's coach, Trevor Graham. They were supposed to be working together on Project World Record. Now, it's fallen apart. But Conti doesn't give up. He vows he'll still create the fastest man in the world. But it won't be Tim Montgomery. Dwayne Chambers is a 23-year-old runner from London. He had great promise as a teenager. 5 years earlier, he ran the 100 meters in 10.06 seconds, becoming the youngest junior champion in history. At age 22, he narrowly missed winning a bronze medal at the Sydney Olympics. But since then, he hasn't fulfilled his promise. He's fallen back in the rankings and is constantly outrun by Maurice Greene, a rising American track star. He's ready to quit when Conti convinces him to move to California and take one last shot. Chambers leaves London and moves to Burlingame, a few miles from Balco headquarters. By the spring of 2002, Conti has him taking more than 50 supplements a day, or as Conti terms it, the full enchilada. In late June, Chambers competes at the Bislett Games in Norway. His main rivals are Tim Montgomery, Conti's former client, and Maurice Greene, the American sprinter who's been regularly beating Chambers and won 3 gold medals in the 1999 World Championships. Chambers smokes them both, taking first place. 2 days later, he does it again in England. On August 7th, he sets a record in the 100 meters at the European Championships, 9.96 seconds. By September, he's hammered Greene into submission, beating him 5 out of 6 times. His only remaining rival is Tim Montgomery. It's September 14th, 2002. Conti's former creation is about to face off against his current one at the Grand Prix final in Paris.
From Dwayne Chambers, was it Tim Montgomery? Chambers now gets into his stride. Montgomery leading the moment. Chambers trying to come back at him, but he's not going to get there. Montgomery's going to take this one. Montgomery wins it by meter and going away. And the time, 9.78, have confirmed as a world record.
Dwayne Chambers is in peak form. He runs the fastest race of his life and ties the European record of 9.87 seconds. But Tim Montgomery is even faster. He sets a new record of 9.78 seconds. It's a bitter pill for Victor Conti to swallow. 2 years ago, he convened Project World Record and vowed to make Tim Montgomery the fastest man in the world. Now, Tim Montgomery has done it without him. Trevor Graham, Montgomery's coach, tries to take credit for the win. He rushes onto the field and hoists Montgomery into the air. But Montgomery will have none of it. He tells Graham the credit belongs to Charlie Francis, the Canadian coach, doping expert, and another former member of the steroid summit. It's such an ugly moment that Graham literally drops Montgomery, causing him to fall and twist his ankle. He sneers, "I hope you pass the drug test." Montgomery does pass the drug test, and his record stands. But Conti's not standing for it. He vows to continue to create champions. He finds a promising sprinter he thinks could unseat Marion Jones. He also takes a shot putter whose career is in decline and rockets him to number 2 in the world. But by now, late in the summer of 2002, Conti has attracted attention. And it's not the kind he's been hoping for. He doesn't know it. But agent Jeff Nowitzki and his team have Balco under surveillance. Besides going through Balco's trash, they're monitoring the office to see who comes and goes. They see Greg Anderson, Barry Bonds' trainer, make a quick visit before heading to Pac Bell Park, where the Giants are playing the Dodgers. 2 hours later, he's back at Balco. Over the past few years, law enforcement has received tips that Anderson is dealing steroids out of World Gym, but they haven't pursued it. Steroids are a low-priority drug offense. Jeff Nowitzki is changing that. His team even tails Conti. An undercover agent follows him into a bank and watches as he withdraws $2,000 in cash. Nowitzki gets a subpoena for Balco's bank records. In the past 9 months, Conti has withdrawn $480,000 in cash. What kind of business deals in that much cash? Not a legitimate one, that's for sure. And thanks to Nowitzki's diligent dumpster diving, he now has papers with Anderson's name on them and a trove of empty pill bottles and vials, some of which contain residue of drugs. But what drugs are they? It's a medical mystery that's beyond the capabilities of most local labs. Luckily, the top lab in the country is only a few hours away. The UCLA Olympic Analytical Laboratory is a low, white building on a quiet street, 3 miles from the campus. The parking lot is surrounded by a chain-link fence topped with razor wire. It's got one of those multicolored square signs in the window, reading 442R, code for firefighters that there are hazardous materials inside. Otherwise, from the outside, there's nothing remarkable about it. What is remarkable is what's inside. A 10,000 square foot maze packed with high-tech machinery. It puts Victor Conti's ICP machine to shame. There are entire rooms dedicated to detecting a single drug. They test 30,000 samples every year. Presiding over it all is Dr. Don Catlin. A tall, professorial man with gray hair and deep-set eyes, he never intended to do this job. When he was in medical school in the 60s, jobs like this didn't exist. He started his career working with Vietnam veterans who were addicted to heroin and came to UCLA in 1972 to set up the clinical pharmacology department. In 1984, he was asked to take on a very important task. Los Angeles was chosen to host the Summer Olympics, and Olympic officials wanted to set up a state-of-the-art drug testing lab, and they wanted Catlin to run it. Catlin assumed it would be a summer job, but doping turned out to be more widespread than anyone had imagined. Within two decades, the lab was also doing testing for the NFL, the NCAA, Major League Baseball, and the Department of Defense. And Dr. Catlin was being referred to as the father of drug testing in sports. So, if you've got a bunch of bottles with traces of mysterious drugs in them, who are you going to call? He won't know it right away, but calling this lab is the smartest move Jeff Nowitzki will make in his entire investigation. Unfortunately for Jeff Nowitzki, the phrase, "there's an agent from the IRS on the phone and he wants to talk to you," strikes fear into the hearts of even the most honest men. So Catlin tells his secretary to take a message. But when he finally speaks to Nowitzki, he's intrigued. The agent won't tell him the name of the lab or the athletes involved, but he's used to that. All the testing they do is anonymous. Athletes are identified only by a number to avoid any possibility of fraud or favoritism. But this is the first time he's been contacted by law enforcement. Until now, doping has been handled as an internal affair, something the sports organizations police themselves. But if this is a criminal investigation, and by the feds, no less, he figures it must be serious. And it is serious. And Catlin is about to become the middleman in the most important investigation in the history of sports.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before 2002, Dr. Catlin's job was pretty straightforward. His UCLA lab would test athletes' blood and urine samples for known drugs like human growth hormone, amphetamines, or various steroids. All of that changes when they receive a urine sample that tests clean, but still shows abnormalities associated with steroid use. The athlete in question is a cyclist named Tammy Thomas. She stands 5'7", and she's 157 pounds of pure muscle. She has a deep voice and facial hair, and admits she gets mistaken for a man several times a week. And she was busted for steroids in 2000, so Catlin and his team have reason to be suspicious. They set to work and eventually find she's using a drug that was developed in the 60s but never marketed. This is where we turn back to the rogue chemist, Patrick Arnold. Tammy is a client, and she's using norbolethone. aka the Clear. It's a major discovery because this is the first time a totally unknown drug is detected. It shows how sophisticated doping has become, and it's a sobering reminder to Catlin of what he's up against. Perhaps because of her steroid use, Tammy Thomas is known for having a volatile temper. When she's busted and banned for using the Clear after Catlin reports his findings, he is advised to hire extra security and buy a bulletproof vest. But Tammy takes the high road. She accepts the ban and reminds reporters, "I'm not an axe murderer, I'm an athlete." So you could say it's all in a day's work when Dr. Catlin begins to help Agent Novitsky. At first, he just helps Novitsky pronounce the names of the drugs listed on the papers he's found in Balco's dumpster. But he quickly realizes that the target of this investigation, Victor Conti, is running a very sophisticated operation. Novitsky and Catlin touch base every few weeks as Catlin continues to identify samples and explain what they're used for. By June of 2003, they've been talking for several months and have built up a good rapport. He's impressed by this cop who goes out alone at nights and digs through dumpsters. What's driving him? Why does he care so much? Whatever the reasons, he's on to a major league operation. Maybe that's all the motivation he needs. But the passion in Novitsky's voice when he talks about bringing down the cheaters makes Catlin think there's something more. Maybe not a vendetta, but at the very least, an obsession. On June 6th, Dr. Catlin gets a call from Terry Madden, head of the United States Anti-Doping Agency. The normally mild-mannered Madden is unnerved. They've received the package Trevor Graham sent and promised would prove Conti's guilt. It's a syringe with a bit of residue in it. Graham says he pulled it out of a trash can at a track meet. It's the first time his agency has received a tip that includes physical evidence, and Graham claims it can be traced back to Victor Conti. So Madden overnights the syringe back across the country to Catlin, who is confident he can identify the drug. Except, he can't. The scientists are stumped. Whatever's in that syringe, it's not a known substance. They dub it Compound X. Catlin relays the news to Madden, who is not happy to hear it. He insists that Catlin drop whatever else he's doing and make identifying this drug his top priority. There's an urgency. The U.S. track championships are in 3 days. They need to identify this drug and develop a test for it. Otherwise, athletes could win medals that would have to be revoked down the line. It's the kind of scandal they desperately want to avoid. Late in 2002, Conti gets a tip that the Clear has been identified by a lab at UCLA. Whether there's a spy in Dr. Catlin's lab isn't known, but he's relieved to learn that Tammy Thomas was using an older version of the Clear. Patrick Arnold has recently altered the formula. It's not the mystery drug currently at the lab. Conti and his clients remain one step ahead, for the moment. The authorities are close on their heels, but Conti isn't concerned. He's having a very good year. And so is his star client, Barry Bonds. Bonds helps lead the Giants to the World Series. On an all-star tour of Japan, he becomes friendly with Yankee first baseman Jason Giambi. Giambi is an experienced juicer, and Bonds brings him into the Balco fold. It's another feather in Conti's ZMA cap. But the more Conti promotes himself and his famous clients, the more determined Jeff Novitsky becomes to bring all of them down. Novitsky is convinced Bonds is juicing, and he knows he's getting his drugs from Greg Anderson and Victor Conti. There's not a shred of doubt in his mind, but he still doesn't have enough concrete evidence. So he hatches a plan. He'll send an undercover agent into World Gym to become friendly with Anderson and from there make contact with Bonds. He chooses an officer from the California Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement named Iran White. At first, White seems like a good choice. He's tough, muscular, and a veteran of undercover operations. They've worked together on past cases and bonded over a common interest in sports. But that bond is about to be stretched to the breaking point. And so is Iran White. At first, things go according to plan. White joins the gym where Anderson trains his clients and starts working out next to him. After a few weeks, they chat, and White mentions he's looking for a trainer. Anderson sizes up White and warns him that his workouts are brutal. If you're just looking to get abs in time for swimsuit season, he's not your guy. At 46, White's no spring chicken, but he convinces Anderson that he's serious and committed. One big difference between Victor Conti and Greg Anderson is that Anderson is a straightforward guy. He's not glib, and he doesn't change his pitch depending on who he's talking to. If he says his workouts are brutal, you best believe him. He puts White on a program similar to Bonds. High weights, very slow reps, lots of very slow reps. Some days, just walking across the parking lot after his workout feels like scaling a mountain. But as far as undercover operations go, at least this one is safe and healthy. Soon, he looks great and is in the best shape he's been in for years. Barry Bonds continues to transform himself as well. Everything about him gets bigger, including his head. That's true both figuratively and literally. Using human growth hormone can actually cause a person's head to become enlarged. Conti and Bonds trainer Greg Anderson have put together a customized program for him. They know exactly when a drug should be taken and in what dosage, what drugs should and shouldn't be combined, when to go off them, both for health reasons and to avoid detection. But Barry Bonds believes Barry knows best. At the end of a steroid cycle, he can feel himself lagging, and he and the fans can see the difference when he's not hitting balls as far. The pressure to perform is real, and Bonds demands more drugs. When Anderson tells him he's not ready for another steroid cycle, Bonds replies, "Fuck off, I'll do it myself." Iran White, on the other hand, does exactly what Greg Anderson tells him. He's not taking any banned substances, but he's working out like a madman, building his muscles and building their friendship. Whenever he can, he steers the conversation to sports, and he makes it clear he's a huge Barry Bonds fan. Finally, as they're working out one afternoon in May of 2003, it pays off.
Good workout, Iran. See you Wednesday. Oh, God. Okay. Just one more thing. What's that? A wheelchair to roll me out to my car because I can't move my damn legs. Yeah, nobody likes leg day, but you're doing great, man. Hey, you want to catch a Giants game soon?
Sure, I'm down.
We'll go by the clubhouse first. I'll introduce you to Barry.
Oh, man, really?
Still need that wheelchair?
No, man, I'm walking on air, brother.
White excitedly calls Nowitzki and tells him the news. Nowitzki is ecstatic. Now, if they can get directly to Bonds, maybe even have White wear a wire, his head spins with the possibilities. He'll finally be able to bring that sleazy cheater down. White doesn't say anything, but he's a bit uncomfortable with Nowitzki's rabid enthusiasm. He's always thought their target was Victor Conti. Nowitzki seems to be on a personal crusade to get Barry Bonds, and White is actually a Barry Bonds fan. White waits for Anderson to schedule a visit to the Giants clubhouse. In the meantime, he keeps up his workouts and pushes himself even harder. After one particularly brutal session, White drags himself home and flops onto his bed. An hour later, he has a stroke.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Iran White survives his stroke, but it's the end of the undercover operation. He's not going to meet Barry Bonds. And in a particularly bitter irony, his doctors prescribe a testosterone cream to aid in his recovery, the same kind of cream Victor Conti gives to his clients. lying immobilized in a hospital bed, he has way too much time to think and brood. He has just had a stroke, trying to bring down an operation that's using the same drugs his doctor just gave him. Does that make any sense? He starts to question the entire operation. He also questions his relationship with Jeff Nowitzki. His recovery takes months, and Nowitzki never even calls him, not even visits. White, who is African-American, also wonders why Bonds is the subject of Nowitzki's wrath, when white players like Roger Clemens and Jason Giambi seem to get a pass. Meanwhile, Agent Nowitzki remains undeterred. He continues to check in every few weeks with Dr. Catlin and the UCLA Olympic Analytical Lab. He keeps up surveillance on Conti and some of his clients, and he keeps going through Bauko's trash. On the night of June 9th, 2003, he finds Conti's unsent letter to the USADA, outing Trevor Graham as a steroid dealer and naming the athletes he's giving them to. Nowitzki still has no idea that Graham has sent a syringe to the USADA, or that Dr. Catlin and his crew are frantically working to identify the substance it contains. Catlin's under instructions to maintain strict confidentiality. Catlin's team is using the newest and the oldest technology to discover what Compound X really is. Tests on a mass spectrometer give a readout of the substance fingerprint. They know that it's complex, containing multiple compounds. From the spectrometer, they go low-tech, using pencil and paper to sketch out their best guesses of the molecular structure. It's the scientific equivalent of doing a composite sketch of a suspect. You might not get an exact match right away, but it narrows things down. Once they've sketched out a formula, they test it by attempting to synthesize that compound. Then they'll go back to the spectrometer and test the compound they just created against what was in the syringe. If the chemical fingerprints are the same, they've got a match. In the meantime, Terry Madden, the head of the USADA, is losing it. Back in June, they took urine samples from 350 athletes at the track and field nationals at Stanford. Trevor Graham had called the next day, claiming he saw Conti at the meet with his little black bag, handing out steroids. Madden has ordered the samples held and testing postponed until Compound X is identified. If any of the athletes at Stanford were using it, he wants to know. But the delay is unusual, and USA track and field officials keep calling, demanding to know why they haven't received test results. Madden doesn't want to tell them what's going on. A leak could tip off Conti, so he keeps his mouth shut and keeps up the pressure on Catlin. On July 18th, at 11:45 a.m., Catlin sends an email to Madden. The email contains just one word. Jeff Nowitzki likes to think of himself as a by-the-book kind of guy. But sometimes you forget what's in the book, and it comes back to haunt you. Like how he'd do his trash recon. Step one, snatch the bags from Bauko's dumpster. Step two, drive to the parking lot of a nearby office building. Step three, sort through it with a keen eye for detail. Step four, catalog it all and keep anything interesting. Final step, toss the rest in the nearest trash bin. Nope. According to the book, the final step is return all items without evidentiary value to the location from which it was retrieved. But trash is trash. Who cares which dumpster it goes into? Kent Pierce cares. He is the owner of that nearby office building. One afternoon, he takes out his trash and finds his dumpster overflowing. That's strange because normally it isn't even half full. He looks at the contents, empty FedEx boxes and envelopes. Some of them are marked caution, hazardous medical waste. All of the boxes and envelopes are addressed to Bauko, which is right down the road. So he pays them a visit. When his secretary shows him in, Conti thinks Pierce might be a journalist wanting to do a profile on Bauko. He smiles and turns on the charm.
Very nice of you to drop by, Mr. Pierce. Would you like a tour of our facility?
Yes. You can show me where you put your damn trash.
I beg your pardon?
I found this in my dumpster, Mr. Conti, which is overflowing. Look at this label. Hazardous medical waste?
No, nothing dangerous was in those boxes. The label is just a formality.
But why is your trash in my dumpster?
Now that I don't know. We've got our own dumpster right out back, and...
Hey, is that a picture of you with Barry Bonds?
Yeah, he's a client of ours.
Wow. So is he a total jerk, like people say?
No. Nicest guy in the world.
Conti makes small talk, but his mind is racing. Someone's going through his trash. and he hasn't been careful at all. He doesn't shred documents or remove labels. Now he vows to be more cautious, but it's too late. Novitzky has already found plenty of evidence, including documents showing Barry Bonds is a client. But this is actually the least of Conti's problems. Back at the USADA, Terry Madden has just received Dr. Catlin's one-word email. That word is bingo. Madden immediately calls Catlin, who confirms they've identified Compound X. It's a brand new steroid with a name 19 letters long. They call it THG for short. Catlin and his staff quickly develop a test, and they're finally able to analyze the 350 samples from the track and field nationals. Four athletes test positive. Three of them are Balco clients. Madden dubs the operation Project Bingo and flies to New York to meet with the leaders of the International Association of Athletics Federations. Founded in 1912, the IAAF is the governing body for track and field. Madden asks them to keep the discovery quiet and quickly do some unannounced testing. The IAAF officials agree. On August 1st, testers interrupt Dwayne Chambers while he's having breakfast at a hotel in Germany. Chambers is unconcerned. After all, Conti has assured him this new version of the clear is undetectable. But this time, Conti is wrong. The IAAF doesn't reveal the results immediately. They don't want to tip off other athletes who might be using THG too. But when they do announce the results, Chambers' career will be over. And it all started with a syringe, fished out of a trash can, and a relationship that turned ugly. Newsweek will later call it one of the decade's top 10 history-altering decisions. The USADA continues testing and investigating athletes. Novitzky continues his periodic chats with Dr. Catlin. Surprisingly, Catlin never mentions Madden to him. Perhaps this brilliant scientist who can sketch out the molecular structure of an unknown compound has problems seeing the obvious. Or maybe he's just being extremely cautious. But finally, on a Friday afternoon in early August, he decides to call Madden at the USADA and tell him what's going on. When Catlin tells him the feds are investigating a lab in the Bay Area, Madden is confused. He thinks there must be two rogue labs operating. But he quickly realizes that the lab under investigation is Balco and that he needs to talk to Agent Novitzky as soon as possible. On August 19th, Novitzky and a county narcotics agent fly to Colorado Springs to meet with Madden and top executives at the USADA. Novitzky arrives with a subpoena demanding the USADA turn over everything they have related to Balco and Olympic athletes. Madden is thrilled to receive it. Having the feds behind them gives Operation Bingo added clout. Up until now, the USADA has been looked at with disdain by most athletes. They consider it a useless agency, trying to bust athletes for taking things like cold medicine. But that's about to change. Novitzky is also thrilled to see his case expand. Despite their opposing views on performance-enhancing drugs, perhaps he's not so different from Victor Conti after all. He likes being at the center of all the action, pulling the levers of power. But right now, he has a problem. The pressure has mounted, and the IAAF will have to release the results of the test of the track and field athletes. That means telling the world about THG. More importantly, it means Victor Conti will know they're onto him. Novitzky has been meticulously building his case, gathering evidence, and preparing for a raid on Balco when the time is right. But now, the raid has to be moved up. Novitzky's not ready, but he doesn't have a choice. From Wondery, this is episode 3 of 6 of Balco for American Scandal. On the next episode, the raid on Balco sets off a firestorm that goes all the way to the White House, pitting the Attorney General against a powerful senator. Meanwhile, athletes are promised immunity, and a mole exposes secrets, laying bare how deeply sports has been corrupted. If you'd like to learn more about doping in sports and Balco, we recommend the book Game of Shadows, Barry Bonds, Balco, and the Steroid Scandal That Rocked Professional Sports by Mark Fainarawada and Lance Williams. This episode contains reenactments and dramatized details. And while in most cases we can't know exactly what was said, all our dramatizations are based on historical research. American Scandal is hosted, edited, executive produced, and sound designed by me, Lindsey Graham, for Airship. This episode is written by Steve Chivers. Our consultants are Mark Fainaro-Wada and Lance Williams. Executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marsha Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.